the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The lines prior to the Gospel that we just prayed have to do with those who were closest to Jesus, whom you might find, as the Fathers mentioned, were his own family. And they thought that, and I hate to use this word, but they thought he was crazy. They thought that he was beside himself. That's another word that is used in the Old English description, when you are beside yourself. Of course, one of the comedians have said, well, if you're schizophrenic, you're always beside yourself. But they thought that he was crazy. People were coming to him and he was healing them, and more people, and what's going on? And then, of course, the scribes took umbrage with this because it was a loss in popularity for him. His gain was their loss all the times. That was the perception. So he said, well, this man doesn't do anything by his own power. He does it by the power of the devil. The devil is giving him power over his underlings. The devil is casting out devils. And the Lord said, that's a funny thing to think of. How then will his kingdom stand? How will his house prevail? How will it endure if Satan is casting out Satan? They, of course, failed to answer this question. And you know, the thing that is the kernel of what I wish to speak about today is how our own house being divided creates such fundamental difficulty. Now, a lot of times when your house is divided, there is a big uproar, but it's initial. It's almost as though when you're going from an acute state, as they will say, to a chronic state. And as the chronic state goes on and on, gradually you become used to that state. That becomes the new normal. So if your son or your daughter is going down the wrong path, you may be in great turmoil. You may seek anybody to help you. And the mother and the father of that house may point fingers one to the other, saying, it's your fault that this child is acting the way. No, it's your fault. And another problem ensues from the first. Who is going to be accountable? It can't be the children that are accountable, because we love the children. We only think good things about our children. Even the most sinful child has parents that will say about him or her, they're good-hearted, have a good heart. Well, how is it you have a good heart and you are going so far astray? How is that possible? See, now, this had to be the same experience for the Jews that it is for us in this day, right? So how is it that they don't understand that when your house is divided, the whole thing collapses? Everything goes away when your house is divided. Now, a lot of times when frustration sets in and there is still nothing that one can do, no matter how much energy you throw at the problem, then depression falls in. Depression comes on the heels of sustained frustration. And when you get depressed, you can put up with almost anything, because you just shrug your shoulders. That's just the way it is. I heard this said about Stalin. He once was asked by one of his ministers how, after doing all of the things that he did with his countrymen, that they were going to follow him and take orders from him, and that he was still going to rule over them. And in front of this person, Stalin took a live chicken and slowly and methodically pulled all of the feathers off the chicken. The live chicken. Right? And then, after going through all of this trauma, Stalin held in his fingers some grain. and the chicken came and took the grain from the hand of Stalin. I could do anything to these people. And all I have to do, Cyril, is to just give them a little bit to sustain them. And they'll follow me still. Depression. Have you ever read Tolstoy? Have you ever read Dostoevsky? If you want a lesson in depression, Tolstoy died in a train station. So I'm telling you that the Jews had to have had problems such as we have. They have to have seen their own physical houses divided by things that they never wanted to happen. So how could they stand there when the Lord said, "How does Satan drive out Satan, and his house still stands?" It's impossible for me to understand, because I've had such problems as the ones that I have just illustrated, and I know exactly what takes place on a deeply personal level. And it's not just the case that it takes a stronger man than Satan to prevail over his house. It's that when his house is in such disarray, anyone can come into that house with only the faintest problem of solving the issue at hand, and they will be invited as though they were an emissary sent from God personally to them. And so people, they will cast about for anyone. It's a sad thing. All right. Now, the Jews too, they have the experience of Christ. Not only did they have the experience of trauma in their own homes, but they had the experience of the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God is a strange thing, because he is a verb and a noun. A verb and a noun. I don't want to get too complicated, but we speak of the Spirit of God. We speak of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at one time the thing that we look at and the thing that dwells in us in order that we may speak about it. Those things that emanate from the Spirit infuse us. The things from the Spirit come inside you, and then you are able to speak. They had this. The prophets. They had all of the prophets. The prophets did not do this by their own inspiration. It did not come from some other place. It was the Spirit of God. So this is why that harshness came. He who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit does not have salvation. Well, you know, when I was a kid, I guess I was about 14, and I was taking plane geometry, and I don't know, for some reason, geometry for me wasn't so bad. Algebra 2 was much harder for me than geometry was. But then at the end of the year, my teacher did something that just infuriated me. Because the geometry that we were learning was, of course, Euclidean geometry. And then I heard there was such a thing as non-Euclidean geometry. And I just went off like a firework. Because when I am opening myself up in a very intimate setting to be taught, I wish to be taught the truth. I don't want to be taught that, well, you got the left hand, you got the right hand, you got the two hands together, you got the hands when they go apart. Well, I know that. This is what I am sitting and listening to. Oh, yeah, these are parallel lines. Give me a description of parallel lines. Well, guess what? The universe is curved and all parallel lines at some point cross. Don't do that to me. Tell me in the beginning there's no such thing as parallel lines. There are things that seem like they're parallel. But they seem that way because of how you are in space and time. But don't tell me that there's such a thing as parallel lines and then jerk the rug out from under me, because I was a believer. After that, I became suspicious. At 14, I didn't believe a doggone thing anybody said. I always held back just a little bit, just because of things like that. Well, the Spirit of God, when it infuses you, it is the Spirit of truth. Rohahok, the Spirit of truth. And it comforts you. And it gives you satisfaction. You know the Beatitudes. As that knucklehead Robert Schuller used to say, the be happy attitudes. No, the Beatitudes. Which one is you? Are you the poor in spirit? Which one are you? When you go down the list of things, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are. I'm the guy that stands in line called hungers and thirsts for righteousness. The most important thing to me in my life is rectitude. I want things to not just appear to be a certain way, but I want in their essence to be exactly the way that they appear. I don't want any ghosts. I don't want chimeras. I do not want things that are evanescent and fleeting. I want things that are permanent and stable. I want to know that when the Lord has given me something, it is something that I can take and defend to my very last breath. And by the way, I believe he has. But I want more. I want it for you. I want to be in a place where everybody agrees. Not because of these little sappy kinds of, you know, things like, oh, look at kittens have mittens and ducks are all fuzzy and dogs, you know, they are cute and they never poop. I'm not looking for that. But I'm looking for where people agree. They agree because the beauty and the truth is so present that it is impossible not to agree. To see the beauty of God, this is why we call Saint Mark the beholder of God. He saw God as he was. P. Theo Remos. The P. Theo God Remos. Beholder. He saw God as he was. And he spoke about God as he was, as he is, as he will be. Eternal things. Things that you can count on. He is. All right. So the Holy Spirit is both a noun and a verb. We look to the Holy Spirit. We beg and prostrate ourselves before the Holy Spirit, and we ask Him. We ask Him. Now, I've already told you about my geometry story. I don't like St. Augustine of Hippo, but he's a saint. And if you read him as I have, he's dry. He's not like St. Cyril, trust me. You read St. Cyril, you will be happy. You read St. John Chrysostom, you'll be happy. You read St. Augustine, you'll feel like you're eating saltine crackers. One or two are good, but a whole package. He says that even this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, can be forgiven. And with respect, you're a saint and I'm just a lousy priest. If you cut off from yourself the means to healing, how then can you repent? Because that's the basis upon which Augustine says that it is possible to be saved from this sin. Well, how do you? If you do not believe in the Holy Spirit, then how does the Holy Spirit give you those things that are required for real repentance? That needs to be answered before I can get on board with St. Augustine. If I'm cutting off from myself a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm returning back to the sense of family. Remember, Jesus' own family thought that he was beside himself. And now, people are trying to see whether or not he is going to suspend doing those things for those who have come, this great convention of people, because his mother is outside waiting for him, because his brethren are outside waiting for him. And then he looks up and he said, Who is my mother or my sister or my brethren? Who? My own family was castigating spurious ideas. They were saying I was beside myself, going out into the wilderness, multitudes coming, me doing healing. They didn't understand. This is my family. And the Holy Virgin, women would say to her, oh, blessed are your breasts because they have nursed the Savior of the world. No, the Lord didn't look at it that way. The Lord himself did not look at it that way. We say many things in the Tisbeha about St. Mary. Most of the things that we're saying is just elegant praise, but it's not the real reason that we should venerate the Holy Virgin. And the reason that the fathers gave, when you dig into it, is that it was her faith. Remember that one little line, we have so precious few things said about St. Mary, but all these things she kept in her heart. The heart of St. Mary. It's the heart that all who would be his family must have. This heart. This love. But you know, the Jews had their genealogies. The Jews counted, you know, like some of the moribund dynasties in Europe. You can find a guy who's the third Earl of Edinburgh or something like that, and you know, he's, you know, pushing a broom outside of a bar. There's famous stories about the royals in the British Isles. And would you like to, there was one guy that was selling, he would adopt people. For $100,000, he would adopt you. And then you would be, you know, like the 10th squire of whatever. And this would be real. Everybody in England, starting off with the Queen herself, would have to address you in that fashion if this guy adopted you. For the cheap and one-time price only of $100,000. You see? Genealogies. People look at people and they say, oh, don't you know who this person is? I remember when Pope Shenouda would come, there would always be his relatives that were sat at a table right down near the front so that he could see them. Well, I've got nothing against his relatives. I don't even know them. I couldn't pick them out of a lineup. And since he's the patriarch, if he wants to have his relatives close to him, he deserves to have his relatives close to him. But it was a fundamental requisite of anybody that was taking care of a banquet. And I did. It was my responsibility at the 25th anniversary of Pope Shenouda to take care of the whole banquet at the Bonaventure. That fell to me. And so I put people in different places and got a lot of misery for doing it too. How come I'm not closer? Everybody had the same question. You're prejudiced. Because at the time I was from St. George. Oh, look where the St. George people are. Well, but the sense of family that the Lord speaks about is the sense of those who do the will of His Father. Because He Himself has said, I come here not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. The will of God, the Father, and of the only begotten Son are one, harmonized, and important. And so who will be a brother of the Lord? Who would be a sister of the Lord? Who would be the mother of the Lord? Those that have the same will and enjoy the same ambition for all of the people, whether or not they currently understand who it is they may be rejecting. It's hard to look at somebody who rejects you out of hand and then call them your brother. But in fact, they are. The opinion that they hold, it may be poorly conceived, but the conception of that human being standing in front of you with the ill-formed opinion is indeed your brother, if God is the Father of us all. And who here would deny that? But we can hardly stand our own relatives, much less the people outside. As a matter of fact, I've said this many times, the hardest place to be a Christian is in your own home. Because everybody in that house knows where your buttons are located and they know how to push them. People on the outside, they have to search a while. But it's hard to be really Christ-like. And yet, unless we are, we cannot call ourselves His kin. K-I-N. We must be not just formed in the image and likeness of God, but we must be conformed in our heart and in our mind and in our soul with His holiness. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, in the age of all ages. Amen.